This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and on the Breakfast Grill with me today is Rami Johan Yokala, head of Digital ABB. ABB, of course, is the giant in power and automation. The WEF on ASEAN, or the World Economic Forum, begins today. One of its three program pillars is titled Mastering the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I guess for a lot of Malaysians and perhaps people around the world, they wouldn't have recognized that there was something like a Fourth Industrial Revolution. Perhaps you could begin by just explaining what exactly is meant by this term.
Thank you for asking. And let me explain this way. Let's look at the history first. What are the first industrial revolution, second and third? The first one was steam engine and mechanization. Second one was electrification. And third one was the IT and control systems, automation coming to the industries. Now the fourth one, next level of the platform, how to utilize. So intranets, what factories have today, and information will be connected to internet. And internet actually means that you have global access. All those tools, all the products, all the systems, automation systems, globally, where you can start to optimize those. So this Industry 4.0 is expected to be the fourth industrial revolution, the next level of the productivity.
See, a lot of people, when you think of technological change, it's incremental, you have a better phone, you have an extra function. It doesn't seem like it deserves the name of revolution. Why is this a revolution when other kinds of technological innovations or change hasn't been given that name?
Normally, revolution means that there's a transformal change, and a transformal change in the productivity. So if we again look back these earlier industrial revolutions, the first revolution, there was a 2 to 3 times better productivity. Electrification was the second one. It came to 6 to 9% more productivity. So 900%, some of the industries was more productivity after it was applied. So here we see the same opportunity. Normally, opportunity comes when the borders are eliminated. And now this information, what has been in one site or one product, when they're connected to the cloud or globally accessible anytime, any place, so actually you remove the border lines. That typically gives you more information, and then you have opportunity to do more optimization, and then actually that way to get more productivity.
Now you think of certain types of industries where this might be applicable and wouldn't be counterintuitive, right? You think, well, okay, you have a factory and it's producing widgets or whatever. And of course, this all makes sense. And, you know, you produce it and you ship it and everything works in that long. But what about things that you associate with human connections, like your general practitioner, your doctor? I mean, is that part of life going to change as well?
Very good observation. This digitalization will affect all of us. Going again back to this electrification. So how was the lamps light that time? How actually was electricity given the motors operating? It was different, and it's a new platform. It's the same here. This accessibility for the imaging and combining that with the information. The doctors today, I think they don't need to actually test too much. The machine learning actually and deep learning will be utilizing this information and then actually give advice to the doctors what to do. So the digitalization will affect the things. All these different equipment products will be linked globally. And by the way, there are almost same amount of the numbers than what we are human beings in the planet at the moment. So more than 7 billion. But it's also affecting the people. So who are part of that? People, of course, will be managing the things and these products, and also the telling the tasks what need to be done, but it actually affects the way we work. And that's the third item, the services, the operation platforms, how we operate to each other. Think about the before mobile phones, how we used to communicate to each other, how we communicate today. There's a totally platform change. The digitalization industry, how we see it, it will affect the same way. And that's why ABB term for this digitalization is IoTSP, Internet of Things, Service and People.
Right, so the Internet of Things, Services and People, and you mentioned just now there'd be probably more things out there, and you were referring to things with IP addresses, I think, and which is very extraordinary because I think of a thing that you can communicate with, right, rather than a bread box. That's a thing, but it's not the kind of things that you're talking about. Do you think, and people might be skeptical and say, well, you know, do we really need to communicate with our refrigerator at home? I mean, or with a vacuum cleaner? Are these really important things that are the end result of all this innovation?
It depends. So who is the user? And digitalization will make offering more personalized. So what is actually, what the people are ready to pay for? If they don't need to actually go to shop, and they will be automatically actually brought the milk or sugar or fish to the fridge. So if the person actually give the value for that, so then it makes sense. So actually, there are all these use cases, at least what we have gone through in our companies, sometimes the value for the digitalization is less. Perhaps it's not going to happen or not very fast, but some area, it's a huge potential with this new information and connecting this information and create a new offering or new services. And that's actually the leading. And if those are found, and quicker those are found, those will be implemented. That's accelerating this digitalization.
The World Economic Forum in ASEAN is looking specifically at this market, a market of over 600 million individuals, citizens across 10 countries. But we are also marked by extreme disparities in wealth. So there's an affluent set that one can imagine will immediately be able to access these innovations and revolutions that are happening globally. But there are also all these people who would imagine are going to be left behind. Is the fourth industrial revolution, as all the revolutions in the past have done, created more division in human society? Are we going to see the haves have more and the have-nots really have much less?
This is a very relevant question. Looking back, there has been the shift of the professions and needs, what kind of works are needed. We believe that, I believe, there will be also now shift. There might be the hairdressers, which are artist type, always they are needed for those. But then there might be shift of the certain area where the like a symbiosis of the man-machine can be more productive. So human beings actually will, of course, focus more for those which will give a more productive, and the robots perhaps more this kind of repeated work, which is anyway perhaps not very good for the human being. So there will be shift, and there will be new type of the professions needed. Like if you think about the cybersecurity, more things are connected. Today there's a 6 million shortage of this kind of professionals at the moment, and that's increasing. Think about this industrial or IT, OT merging, when these two different type of the competencies or professions are merging. Who actually can mastermind both of them? There's not too many persons actually in this planet who actually understand and put the things together and can drive actually the cross-border teams. So that is a shortage as well.
For governments in the region that have to negotiate this global reality, often they talk about job creation. Job creation is a huge thing for them. But many of the jobs that are created are low-level jobs, low-skilled jobs. But there's a political imperative, right? You want people employed just because you don't want them to revolt, perhaps, and overthrow your government. Is this a scenario that really can work in the developing world? Is this something that the developing world can embrace as a game changer for itself?
Developing world, but also, actually I think the whole world. Now there will be more access. Anybody go Asia, Africa, Europe or Americas. So we have actually access to these university lectures if you have connectivity. I think the key point is if you have connectivity. You don't need to be any more present. You don't need to fly over to the best universities. You can actually start to read that by yourself and educate by yourself. So it's very much about the human itself or persons, what they want to do. And going back to your earlier question, I believe there will be same amount of the work available, but it will be different types because there's a transformation and needs are different.
Some people are afraid of robots because they see in robots not helpers, but some thing that's going to replace them. Are those fears exaggerated?
Yeah, when the first car came, or wagon, and Ford was mass producing it, if you would ask actually these people at that time what they were wanting, they want to have a faster horse. They didn't like to see the car. It was ugly, noisy, there's a smoke. And you could take a look where we are today. It's like a normal, usable, everybody are using the car and get familiar. So it was a platform change. I see it the same way here. So at the beginning, it might felt that, what is this about? And these are robots. But sooner or later, we will see that it will be actually used. It will help our work. And these new robots, they are collaborative. They are not anymore like in a cage, like industrial robots that you might be hurting the human beings. Today, the robots actually, they have 3D sensing and visioning. They can actually see what they do. And they can help in these normal routines in the factories, but why not the home as well?
I know they're cheerleaders for every revolution, and they're people who kind of like talk about the dark scenarios, the doomsday scenarios. But I want to try one. One is the question of monitoring. And it's been said that monitoring is going to be one of those key principles in the fourth industrial revolution. The flip side of that, of course, is surveillance, is feeling that everything that you do is now subject or to somebody taking that data and using it, perhaps in ways that are against your own interests, right? So I've heard it, and maybe I'm wrong, that even a smart TV can be used as a double channel. It's not just you watching something, but somebody watching you. Again, is this something that we should be concerned about? And are industry players and stakeholders actively looking at the other side of the coin?
Definitely. So digitalization will enable this monitoring and sensing, and data will be collected. So two elements. One is the cybersecurity. The data is only there where actually it need to be, and nobody else can access it. And there's the data privacy. So who is owning the data, and how to share the data? What the level of the data is shared? I think the whole world and companies is going through this transformation, and they are now understanding how the data can be used and how it should be protected, what level. And I think we are in a journey here. Some area there is legislation and governmental rules coming, so the data should be set and kept also in the certain countries, that physically even, so it's not allowed to be shared. So that kind of legislations and regulations you have seen, it's coming. And I believe more is coming. So this is a new territory. Perhaps people didn't think about that 10 years ago, but now the data have an IP, and it's an industrial data. So there's companies who have making R&D and discoveries, and that is stored there. So there's a business risk if it's not well maintained. Compare actually this more for the normal users, like a Facebook using. I think people also start to now a little bit worried about how to use it perhaps, or at least they take care. So what to put the information there, what not to be put there. At least they are aware of the perhaps possible consequences if the information goes wrong place. I think the same thing is happening now for the industrial data, which actually have more money behind because R&D is done. And that's why actually it's more taken care of as well.
We've heard that in Malaysia that automation is not a high priority among those who are in manufacturing. That one of the reasons they are less than enthusiastic is perhaps that they see it as a huge cost. But on the flip side, the so-called returns from productivity seem phenomenal. It seems to be a kind of mismatch. Why isn't it, the case that more industries are taking up this technology because the savings are so great, whether it's in energy or time? And is this a problem specific to certain countries and economies? And what could change that, do you think?
I think it is a very usual challenge. Normally, it goes about the business case and payback time. So bigger investment will be longer payback time. So more hesitant the managers or directors or company presidents are to invest. I think the key thing is to understand what are the platforms to operate in the future. So what is the risk if the platform is not there, like this automation you talk about now? So what is the risk actually for the business continuity in the long term? And if that risk starts to be increasing and big enough, I think then there will be investment. Some companies, they have extra money. I recommend them to invest a portion of the money, 10 to 20% this kind of future things, which enabling them to be the leading on the area, not the follower coming after and always need to catch up. The reason is that when you are better prepared what is coming, you also can a little bit influence which direction the things are developing. And so I really recommend that these platforms, if those are seen to be the future platforms, it's better to be on those. Otherwise, it's very difficult to catch up and very much more expensive.
At the end of the day, do you think the fourth industrial revolution is going to be led by industry, by private enterprise? Or do you think governments are going to be crucial to the changing shape of this global production system?
One single company or even industry group are not able to do this alone. I think all parties are needed. I'd like to take example of these mobile phones and when it came like a mass use as a toy, all phones. GSM was the key actually that time. And how it happened, there was many companies, Ericsson, Nokia, Siemens, Alcatel, they actually joined the forces. When they did that and cross-licensed among each other, actually everybody was benefiting. Every new person who connected the phone there, all these companies who actually was jointly agreeing the platform, they were benefiting. I think it's the same here. So this collaboration is needed with governments and the needs and the different industrial players, suppliers, and customers in order to make this kind of a new platform to work. Alone, one company, it's too big task to do.
ABB, as you said, has a vision for the Internet of Things, and it's Internet of Things, services, and people. Why this triangulation of components of stakeholders?
The key thing here is when we went through the use cases, how machine to machine are communicating digital way to each other, or machine to people, or people to people digital way. This use cases actually, there was several hundreds of those, shows that 37% actually of the digital communication or this kind of digital value was only between the things or machine to machine. 63% there was a people involved. So actually the digitalization is not about the things only or products. They are communicating and getting more smarter. But it's also the way how people are working to each other as well to the robots or machines.
Science fiction imagined a world where it wasn't just people communicating with machines or robots, but people themselves became robots. They were the, you know, this vision of androids. Androids part of the picture, is that just too far? Is it still in the realm of science fiction? The idea that we will interface in a very deep way with the machines that we use.
I don't know if it will be androids, but at least how ABB sees it, people will be always the decision makers and in control and for the activities, what the things are doing. One of the biggest robots actually already today are the ship-to-shore cranes. There's no any human being anymore in those. The 60-meter high where they need to take a look at the containers on the container ship. And it's for vision, it's too far away for any human beings to make accurate location of picking up the container from the hatches of the ship. So actually that's totally automated. So there will be there's vision, there's cameras which are using actually that already today. And then it's like a huge robot who is actually loading and unloading the containers already today for truck drivers. Even actually not only one at the same time or two, and truck drivers even they are not aligned with their benches where actually they are landing. So there is this kind of, I don't know if it's Android, but the big, huge robots. And they are operating, but it's fully managed by the persons. All the KPIs are leading the functional advices, what to do next, is given by the people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
I've been speaking to Rami Johan Jokela, head of Digital ABB. We've been talking about Industry 4.0, or more broadly, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, one of the themes of the World Economic Forum on ASEAN, opening today in Kuala Lumpur. I'm Sharad Kutin for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.